music, all music, is not especially understanding what it is, but feeling the music. And you know, in Hawaiian music, I think there's a lot of feeling that cannot be explained through this voice.
We the voices behind the faith of the Hawaiian nation, the Hawaiian race, cries for justice, the day has come for all our people to stand as one. E ala e, e ala e. We the voices behind the faith, the Hawaiian nation, Hawaiian race, cries for justice, the day has come for all our people to stand as one. E ala e. We the warriors born to live on what the land that she can give. Defend our birthright to be free. Give our children liberty. Power of the people is the people care aloha o ka aina, o ka aina.
And good morning. Welcome to Pilikia Opono. This is Maka'ala. I want to start this morning by sharing our aloha and thoughts and prayers and energy and focus today on Lahaina. It's tragic. It's devastating. We were talking about the history that that place represents. It was the former capital of Hawaii. Many of our ali'i are buried there. And some of the structures that burned to the ground last night hold many family stories, many facts about the old Hawaii. And we know that those facts are not gone, but we honor those that kept them and will keep them. And we hold good thoughts for those who are today without anything and frightened. You have your lives and you have each other and you have all of us. So let us know if you are safe. Use Facebook. I am safe. We do look for that. And please let your people know that you are safe. There are many this morning who are terrified that you are not. So you have our aloha, and that doesn't mean much this morning, but it means everything in the end. So let us know what you need. Okay, I am here with Mauna Kea Trask, and this is Pilikia Opono. We do record this program on the archives at kkcr.org, and Mauna Kea has also provided all of the citations and references that he uses in what he presents there. So you can read for yourself, and we encourage you to do that. Don't listen to anybody. Just take it verbatim. Always look it up. So much easier today than than it was in my day when it was like, you know, 40 pounds of books and you all weighted down and there was no handsome boy walking behind you saying, here, sista, let me take your books for you. Well, that never happened. So plenty much easier today, right? But don't just use Google. Please use some of the ulukau vehi vehi. Use some of the good sources that are out there. They've translated so many of the newspapers now. There's no excuse. There's no reason, and there's no excuse. And it's not hard. It's not hard. They're all there. And we thank all those people, scholars, students, and all who have done all that so that you and I can just push a button and go, oh, that's what it really said. Important. So this morning we're going to talk about sovereignty. And actually, in sort of a macabre way, it seems kind of appropriate considering what happened last night to Lahaina in government and all the rest of that. But Mauna has proposed that there's two different kinds of sovereignty that is being discussed in the world today, and they're different. And he's nodding at me like, well, yeah. And I'm going, well, I didn't know that. I thought the word sovereignty meant sovereignty. No, of course not. Like, black is not black, and white is not white, and sovereignty is not sovereignty. So, good morning, Mauna. Thanks for, thanks for braving the North Shore yet again.
Good morning. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so we're going to talk about sovereignty versus, you called it, citizen sovereignty.
Yeah, so it's sovereignty versus sovereign citizenry.
Oh, sorry.
And
I was close.
I'm not, and the reason why I'm take so much interest in it is because I was sucked into it. So, like, my first tattoo is an upside-down Hawaiian flag on my left breast. And I got that because I believed in the sovereign citizen argument, or the Hawaiian sovereign citizen argument. And it was very attractive, very seductive. And it's basically the kingdom still exists because this, that, whatever. Whatever you fill in the middle, it's like a time machine and everything's good. And then I went to law school and John Van Dyke just effectively told me I was dumb and that to read. And then I had found out that, oh, it's not true. And all the questions have been thoroughly answered for decades. And I think it's important to know.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's interesting just to define the difference in the two.
Yeah.
'Cause, yeah, we've all heard the arguments on all sides. And they're not then. They're now. You know, those arguments are still occurring today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, we're not talking about ancient history here, folks.
True. And the difficulty is that it's based on the same history, right? It's coming from the same disaffected place. And it's based upon the same historical, legal philosophies. But one's legitimate. Basically, one's legit and one's not. And so, like, they both have sovereign in them. They both share those things, right? So I know we talked about doing the legitimate research, but Wikipedia is so what is it? Easy?
Efficient.
Convenient. It's so convenient. So I'm going to read the definition of it. So we're going to start with sovereign citizens, okay? So the sovereign citizen movement is a loose group of litigants, activists, tax protesters, financial scheme promoters, mm-hmm. and conspiracy theorists who adhere to pseudo-legal concepts. So in the United States, the FBI, they're on the FBI list. They're also tracked by Southern Poverty Law Center as a hate group. It gets
it's
wild.
It's a hate group.
So the definition itself, there's no such thing as like a sovereign citizen group. It's kind of like a theory that's applied regionally throughout the United States in various different ways.
So it's not just Hawaii.
No, it's everywhere. It actually started in Oregon, apparently. And with this group in the 70s called Posse Comitatus, and they said that, you know, for I think they argued that the Articles of Confederacy were still intact and that the...
In Oregon, they argued this?
Yeah.
That doesn't...
It has...
Yeah, my logic test.
Wild roots. There's like... has roots in white supremacy, all this stuff. But in various regions, it's changed and adopted to that place. So in Hawaii, when it hit Hawaii in like the 90s, early to mid-90s, mm-hmm. it was Hawaiian sovereign citizenry. So they got the, you know, the treasonous overthrow, the Republic of Hawaii. And it's basically a fruit of the poisonous tree argument. You know, the Committee of Safety committed treason in 1893, and everything thereafter is illegal. So therefore, the kingdom still exists. Right? That's the basic argument that we're familiar with, mm-hmm. and that is generally what everyone thinks sovereignty is about. Right? And so, but you can have it in, regionally, there's other Native American forms of it. There's just tax protesters that say, you know, the gold standard is the real standard. We're straw men. I mean, we hear these arguments.
And we hear them today. We don't pay your property taxes because they don't own the property, and the owner goes way, way back. And
totally.
Yeah. So don't pay your property taxes. Ah! And then you lose your property, and you look back and going, where's the protection for what?
Pay your property tax. And then that's the perfect title case, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Count with Psychotic B felony for that. Right. And so, the FBI describes sovereign citizens as an anti-government extremists who believe that even though they physically reside in the country, they are separate or, quote, sovereign from the United States. Right. Whereas Hawaiian sovereignty is generally described as a grassroots political and cultural campaign to reestablish an autonomous or independent nation or kingdom of Hawaii out of a desire for sovereignty, self-determination, and self-governance.
So reestablish.
Well, and that's the thing. Some people think it's reestablish. Some people say create, you know, the existing.
Create, or bring back what had.
Yeah, either bring back or go forward. And the thing is, you can't go back. You know, the kingdom, you can't resuscitate the kingdom. You need a time machine to do that. And that's beyond the laws of physics.
Because we don't have the, according to some.
According.
But because we don't have anybody with the actual lineage.
No. Legitimately, yes. But Native Hawaiian culture, they had many illegitimate kids. And I'm sure people can trace, and people do claim, and I don't... Hey, you claim, it's not my kuleana.
Yeah.
But a lot of people say they are related to whomever. But that doesn't matter.
It's not going to bring the kingdom back.
Because, you know, the Kamehameha line ended with Kamehameha III, right? And then he adopted Alexander Liholiho and Lakapuaeva because they were his cousins or his nephews.
Because he didn't have kids.
He didn't have. And then Prince Albert died, right? Tragically. So then Lakapuaeva took it. And then he died with no heir. And so Lunalilo got elected. And Lunalilo was related to the Kamehamehas, but not directly. And then after he died, a couple of years, Kalakaua, totally not even a Kamehameha. Right? And so the lines, and then overthrow. And so there's really no, and even then, in the Hawaiian constitutions, it provided that if the king doesn't have an heir, it's elected by the House of Nobles, I'm pretty sure.
Is that how Lunalilo got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so they followed the procedure.
Yeah, there was a constitution. Rules. Yeah, we had, 1840, 1852, 1864.
So it wasn't just I'm the king, I point at you.
No.
There was a process.
And that was kind of the issue. One of the issues that led to the overthrow was, Lakapuaeva, Kamehameha V, wanted more power. He said, Kamehameha III abrogated too much. Gave away too much power. I want more king power. So he put on a new constitution. It didn't pass. So he said, look, I'm just doing it. I'm the king. I'm a Kamehameha. I want to do this. And then he...
Sound like something that's going on today, folks? Just a little.
It happened. Yeah, it's cyclical. cyclical. And so then everyone was mad about that. And then when he passed and Kalakaua had a different attitude, they forced Kalakaua to sign the Bayonet Constitution, right, 1887. And after that, it just kind of eroded. So when Liliuokalani came in, she's like, look, I'm taking it back too. And she proffered this constitution, 1892. And then at that time, and we'll get into this, but the McKinley Tariff Act had just passed. And
Tariff Act?
Tariff Act.
Tariff Act.
Yeah.
Got it.
So sovereignty is intimately entwined with economics. So when you look at it, Hawaii's whole economy, it's always been singular economies, right? Sandalwood, whaling, sugar, tourism. That's it. That's our history. Post-contact. So, at the 1891, the world has gone through multiple, and the United States has gone through multiple depressions, right? So before the Great Depression, there was the panic of 1873. And that's when the banks would just have runs. And there was no FDIC. There was none of these protections. And so, crazy. It was just crazy. And so part of their response in America was, we need to have a more protective economic policy. So they passed the McKinley Tariff Act. And what that did was it raised tariffs. And again, right, Trump did this a couple of years ago. He raised tariffs 50% out of all import goods from other countries.
Supposedly to protect the value of what you have.
Yeah, American industry.
Yeah.
Yeah, you buy inside. But it got rid of the tariffs on sugar. So whereas Hoi had favored nation status and they could trade freely, now they had to fight with Brazil, Indonesia, you know, everyone who was raising way more sugar. And so, and in order to placate the South, McKinley said, okay, and we'll pay a 2 cent pound bounty on American sugar. And so all of a sudden, Hoi Ag is wiped out. They can't make any money without favored nation status, because we would ship all our sugar to Klaus Spreckels in San Francisco, right? He was the big sugar guy. And so 1891, that happens. Economy, and it's like, it's effective in October. The sugar schedule comes effective in April the next year, 1891, and then overthrow 2 years later. It's not a coincidence, right? At the same time, Liliuokalani is going, I want, and I want more power. So the sugar cane growers are now facing total economic loss and loss of political power and influence. So they might as well just overthrow it. And that's very basically the story, right? And so how to get back to it? You can't really go backwards. But we can go forward, right? And so the point of today's discussion is identify what is legitimate, what is illegitimate, because the legitimate way will bring us forward. The illegitimate way, you'll be fighting traffic tickets for the rest of your life.
Just sit and spin.
Yeah, you'll do nothing. So, and that's what it is. Yeah.
Okay.
I think we're done.
Bye, folks. And that is my treatise. Yeah, mic drop. We can't drop these mics, folks. If we could, oh, there'd be so many temptations. Super. Okay, so the reason that she has a blow up mic looks a little bit like something else, but okay. So the point of all this is, and now what, you know, and what is real, what is not real? Mauna just went through what's real, what's not real, and the point of it, because in my world, history didn't matter to me until I could apply it to me, until I could apply it to today. So, you know, what did they do back then? Yeah, that was back then. But this stuff, there's a whole lot of parts and pieces of this sovereignty discussion that are very important to understand for today. What is the next step we do take forward?
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of other models out there for, you know, government. There's all kinds of government structures, etc. But if you know, it's even a Hawaiian proverb. If you don't know where you've been, you don't know where you're going. You know, every native peoples have that lesson, have that saying in some form or another. It's right. They have several that are very similar. You can go to any indigenous people, and you'll hear, many hands make light work. We're all in the same canoe. You got to learn from the past to move forward. Everybody has a lot of others, but those, you'll hear those in every single indigenous conversation. So, on account of their truth, you know, on account of their work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So next step. Somebody says, first of all, let me say this. When I was teaching, one of the things that I never taught in a city, in a tough neighborhood, and was privileged never to do that. But it did teach some pretty rough and tumble kids at one point. Junior high, I think they're all that way. But anyway,
animals.
Yes, absolutely. So one of the things that I focused on with the young women especially was you are sovereign if you believe you are sovereign. Your power is within you. Do not get your power from your boyfriend, from your teacher, from your father, from your whomever. Your power and your base is yours. Yes, you've got plenty to learn and there's plenty to do, but you have that. And they teach this. It's interesting because they teach this in women's defense classes. Hold your chin up, stick your chest out, walk with attitude, and you will not likely get accosted just by body language. Sovereignty to me is a little bit like that. I am sovereign because I say I'm sovereign. I'm sovereign because I know I'm sovereign. I'm sovereign because I act and speak sovereign. Okay, that's all well and good, but it's important to understand what that really means and the nuts and bolts of it in governmental structure or civilized society structure. That part I'm missing the pieces, mm-hmm. but I can look and act, I'm sovereign because I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, start there with good attitude and confidence and then figure out a way forward to restructure or structure a government that provides for that. Do you want a pen?
Exactly. I brought one. I'm
talking and he's looking for something with which to write. There.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Don't you love it when you're talking to somebody who takes notes? Yeah. Yeah. Woo-hoo. Ego boost. Okay. So, I handed that to you on a platter.
Yeah. Silver. Okay. So the first thing to do is to identify where do you direct your energy, right? So, not to get too into the weeds because it's forever and it's been happening for decades, but basic premise. And this is, I'll just read case law. Today's thick on case law. You guys get to read those cases. So, it's summed up really nice in this case called State v. Fergestrom.
Fergestrom.
Yep. And every time you read a case that says state versus somebody, it's a criminal case. And unfortunately,
I never knew that.
All the cases that address these issues are State v. Lorenzo, U.S. v. Lorenzo, State v. Fergestrom, right? State v. Marley.
So they're criminal cases, civil cases.
Yep. And it's in, except for U.S. v. Lorenzo, which was like a tax fraud case, State versus Lorenzo, which is a different Lorenzo, Fergestrom, French, this is all like traffic cases. So driving without license, no insurance, no safety check.
Which happens today.
Yeah. But whereas you take your fine, you go home, whatever. These guys claim that your laws don't apply to me because I'm sovereign. I'm a Hawaiian citizen.
I'm not a citizen of your government, and therefore I don't have to follow
your
rules.
Doesn't exist. Never works. Everyone loses. If anyone says they did that argument at court and they won, they didn't. The state lost. Maybe they forgot to ask if something happened in the county of Kauai, state of Hawaii. Maybe a witness recanted. Maybe they just were like, it's not worth it. I use my prosecutorial discretion to dismiss the case, or whatever it is. You didn't win. You may have got away with it, but you didn't win.
The other guy just gave up.
That's what it was. Which can happen. That's good. Good for you. But mm-hmm. It doesn't, and there's no credence to the legal argument. So Fergestrom says, whatever may be said regarding the lawfulness of the provisional government in 1893, the Republic of Hawaii in 1894, and the Territory of Hawaii in 1898, the state of Hawaii is now a lawful government. Boom. Done. Any international law does not apply to this case.
Why?
Because there's this court case called U.S. Sciriottes v. Florida. And there is something in the Constitution that says that treaties are supreme law of the land.
Yeah.
So this issue came up in Florida. I don't know I forget what the facts are. Went up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said, yeah, that's true. For international issues.
Oh,
and international
but not
people,
within the United States.
With domestic and public safety laws, police power type stuff, crim. No, right? And that was reiterated in this Hawaii State case, State v. Marley, where the Supreme Court affirmed the trial court's denial of jury instructions that international law takes precedence over Hawaii state statutes and that treaties ratified by the United States are binding on the state of Hawaii. So, as Hawaii, you born and raised in Hawaii? And whether or not you like being an American citizen, it's an issue of location. It's not an issue of philosophy, right? So, and not even to get into the argument that the overthrow happened way before UN was established. There was no UN charter, right? And really back then it was, white makes right. That's what it was in the 19th century, mm-hmm. right? white male makes right.
Mm-hmm.
Then what then now? So first, okay, that all that stuff. Now, that's not to say, though, that the history is totally accurate, right? The moral argument, totally accurate. Just take that history moral argument and do something with it, like you said. And so what it comes down to this, they call it the political question doctrine. So even if you got all your I's dotted and your T's crossed, if you're making these arguments in court, the court will say that that's not something for the court to decide. That's for the Congress, that's for the ledge, that's for the
policy executive. Makers, the government.
That's right. And so
it's not a legal question, it's a policy question, and it's a question that the lawmakers.
We're so used to the courts, because of checks and balances, right? So we're so used to the courts checking the executive branch, what you can't do. Oh, you can't take secrets home, or we're going to indict you, right? That's not what 343 says, the environmental, mm-hmm. right? You can't do that. So people are so used to it that they always go to the courts. But the courts have a self-regulating doctrine called political question, where they say, oh, we can't do that. You got to go to them. And so the case goes, it's long been recognized that the determination of sovereignty over a territory is fundamentally a political question beyond the jurisdiction of the courts. And that's Tsai versus Clinton, and was later affirmed by Tsai versus Obama. And, Keanu Tsai.
Mm-hmm.
And so all those things done. So what do we do, right? I'm not going to leave you in a lurch. Okay?
Okay.
So.
Feeling like I'm hanging out the window right now.
Yeah. And I know a lot of you out there.
Hang on.
And I know
I need a little bit of hope here.
That's right. So I'm going to give you all the hope.
Okay.
So you guys can hate me. That's fine. Please don't argue with me about this. I'm not interested. I'm just going to cite case law and go away. So what can we do?
That's not true, folks. He loves to argue about
Yeah, I've argued about this so much, though.
But you're well practiced.
So then what do we do? Simple. It's a political question, so we just get political. Right?
Use the process you have.
Use the process you have.
Is that at The Hague?
No. Again, stay away from it. Or you can go to The Hague for policy. I mean, it's cool. You can go to, I would love to, when we used to catch like subpoenas from the Hawaiian Kingdom, international crimes at county, I'd always accept them. And I would hope one day.
You just want to get on a plane.
Yeah. Because if the blue helmets came, then I could tell Department of Finance, I got to go to Geneva. You know, I want a hotel and a car and per diem. Never happened. And so, anyway.
It's a very tempting thing for me to say that there is an entity that watches over indigenous rights on planet Earth. And that entity is in a place that is mysterious to me, called The Hague, that I've never been to. I've traveled a lot. I've never been there. And I don't know why it's there, but it's there. And they have knowledge, and they have jurisdiction, and they have legal clout over things that are bigger than individual country governments. Mm-hmm. That they have this purview of the planet. So does that exist?
All right. Yes, but not to that effect. So. Real briefly, UN was created after World War II.
A League of Nations.
Yeah, because the League of Nations wasn't that effective, right?
And the table was the wrong shape, as I recall.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that was the big argument. That was the big argument was, you know, we need a round table.
So UN, the highest level of state sovereignty is the state. The UN is a group of states, right? The UN doesn't recognize nations. Nations recognize nations, and those nations are then allowed in the UN. Okay, so the UN is not an overarching superstructure. It's not. It cannot hold any state to task. In order to be subject to the UN's jurisdiction, you have to sign it. You have to acknowledge it. You have to sign a treaty to do it, and you can renege on that treaty any time. Right? And so you'll see it often when United States gets sued. in the International Court of Arbitration or the U.S. Criminal, no, they never go criminal court, but they'll go, oh, no, we don't want to do it. And
Powell, they just don't.
They just don't. And the U.N. has this thing called the Security Council, and it's essentially the nuclear powers. So there's standing members, China, Russia, United States, England, France. That's all I'm going to say. But essentially, they got total veto power. So if you want to do anything UN and they say no, it ain't getting done, right? So, and when you see international criminal court stuff, and I'm not an expert on this at all, but it seems to me that it's always after a despot is deposed. You know, they're overthrown, and then you throw them before the criminal court. Mm-hmm. No one got Saddam when he was actually running the country.
No, they got him after.
Yeah, they got him after they found him in the hole in the ground.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So if
I went to The Hague and said, I have these rights, force America, it wouldn't work.
Well, no, but they would be very polite, right?
Yeah,
they would say, oh, hey,
they
right on.
They'd lead me on.
Yeah, I mean, no one's going to argue. I mean, they're, you know, so, but there is like, Kalahui does a lot of work at the international level arguing policy, right? There's nothing binding there. But you can get with other indigenous nations, because all indigenous nations are within states, right? Because all our political boundaries were largely drawn after World War II. They don't really exist. That's why Africa is like, one of the reasons Africa is in such turmoil, because the boundaries don't make sense to the Africans. And so,
because they were set for different reasons.
Yeah, political European stuff.
So currently there are several, one with which I'm just slightly familiar, efforts at international policy for indigenous people, and it came out of the International Union of Conservation, what is that, network or whatever that, the IUCN. And when the IUCN met in Hawaii, it was the first time they'd ever met in the United States, because the United States is not a member. So if you don't know that story, just briefly, what happened is one of our very own Kauai citizens made a very interesting decision and said, well, it's not the United States inviting you here, it's the Hawaiian people inviting you here. And they were able to accept. And so we had the IUCN in Hawaii. And at that meeting, an organization with which I'm associated printed thousands of copies of Liliuokalani's Kumulipo translation. And we handed them out to everyone. And they are literally now distributed globally because of that organization.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and so there's the story, right? Now you have it. You have who we are. You have who we are and how we came to be in our world. And from that now, from that one act, so much has happened for the Hawaiian people, for the indigenous Hawaiian people, that many are not even aware of. One is that a local organization, Kua'aina Ulu Awamo, has been able to proffer and support and promote the concept of native management of resources, what I usually call place-based management, but native indigenous management of resources is real and is correct. And we don't accept you changing our place names. We don't accept you changing the names of our critters. We require, demand's too strong, but we require, and we will use the indigenous knowledge that we have to do things puno for planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that whoever you are, wherever you are, person who just showed up, and whatever color you are, you don't get to just turn things around and take our resources for your own stuff. This stuff is, it's happening. It looks like it's happening really small in little corners of the room, but it's spreading. It's pervasive because it's going back to, instead of having the political fight about rights and colors and all that stuff, we're having the discussion about how best to manage the manini.
Mm-hmm.
How best to manage the manini. And within our own people right now, it's really interesting. Mac Poi Poi just schooled me again.
Wonderful guy. Love him.
Yeah. Everybody loves him when he scolded me. and he said, because I said, do you know, Mac, the Manini in Hanalei Bay spawn at one time on the eastern side of the bay and at a different time on the western side of the bay? And I'm just full of myself thinking this is a really cool fact that nobody else could possibly know. And Mac says, did you know? Oh, I'm in trouble now. They spawn multiple times a year. So it really depends on when you paddled out there and caught that Manini as to whether it was one of the multiple times
so awesome.
that they spawn. Ah, shucks. Hole in my boat.
That's
big,
what it is.
Big as a bucket. Okay. So my boat sinks. And on the other hand, there is currently a discussion within the state of Hawaii about fishing rules. We're trying once again to make some pono fishing rules based on what the native indigenous people know to be true.
Yep.
The sovereignty of our people is what we know. Who we are is part of it, but what we know is a big part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what we know is when the Manini, well, one of us just learned, when the Manini spawn. Son of a gun, because the state rule, they want to make a rule limiting Manini, the take of Manini. And Max said, huh? How come? They spawn all the time. Get plenty.
Mm-hmm.
That's an easy fish to catch. The kupuna can catch them. The keiki can catch them. And you can eat them. And they're easy to cook.
Yeah.
And we like them. So leave that one out. So in my world, that's a sovereignty thing. In my world, that's a, wait a minute, we know this to be true about here and this and us. And we're going to make policy based on those facts.
That's
right.
That's exact. And that you, it's great that you, the Manini is the metaphor in this.
Yeah,
one,
I know.
Because it is. It seems like a small thing.
Yeah.
Everyone's thinking about chiefs and all this kind of big international law. You know, like, and Geneva is like heaven to a disenfranchised indigenous person.
Oh. Well, and it kind of looks like it.
Yeah.
I mean, physically, it's like a whole lot of white marble, and
yeah,
like, you know.
Yeah. You, I mean, I they're like. And Northern Europe, right? If they don't,
yeah.
they have wings. They're like fairies.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Angels.
Yeah,
right. So it's all this kind of mystique. But the entire Hawaiian cultural, economic, political, religious milieu was simply, how do we live in these islands that
right.
are geologically closed economic systems that have no calories whatsoever on the land? We have to import food from Polynesia. We have to, and, you know, Hawaiians figured out over 1,000 years how to live in balance. But when they first came, they ate all the birds. You know what I mean? Go to Makuhari Cave. It was food. There's just bird bones. Excellent predators, right? And then you die out. And then you come back like, okay, we got to balance this thing. And then you get all the kapu system. And that's why there was no separation in between church and state in Hawaii. Church was state, right? King Kamehameha's god was Kukailimoku. That was the ali'i's, you know, religion, right? But it wasn't a state religion because everyone had their different thing, because regionally, Ahupua'a was really the locus of political power, and he who controlled more Ahupua'a was just the guy that could kill the best,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, a couple concepts. You're right. It's, you know, in the United States, it's bread and butter issues. But in Hawaii, let's call it poi and fish issues,
mm-hmm.
right? That's what it is. That's sovereignty. That's why I really love being on the board at Malama Hulia, because mm-hmm. that's an act of sovereignty.
Yeah, totally.
Right? And why?
In action. But the word is an act
yeah.
of. It's a verb. So to me, what I was saying earlier about what I was teaching the young women, sovereignty is a verb,
mm-hmm.
not a noun.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't describe me. It is me.
And that's why the difference between sovereign citizenry and sovereignty, they're both verbs. They both provide a path. It's just the sovereign citizen one, it's like junk food for the brain. It tastes really good. And it's you want to consume a lot of it. Sovereignty, actual sovereignty, is difficult. It's vegetables. You don't want to eat, you know what I mean? It's not...
It's broccoli.
Yeah, it's not alcoholic.
Yeah.
It's non-psychoactive.
Yeah.
It's just political. And
no
so,
fun.
So the concepts that focus on for positive stuff, poi and fish, konane and canoes,
mm-hmm.
right? We're not going to kill the king. That's not the point of sovereignty. Again, I always talk about Konani. It's keep moving. Why do we keep moving? Because every empire falls. Why does every empire fall? No one knows, but they do. Will the U.S. fall? Yes. What do we need to do? Prepare. Mm-hmm. Keep moving. As long as we have moves, fisheries, mm-hmm. fish ponds. And we're starting to recognize that. The Act 229 amended the SMA laws to exempt fish ponds, basically traditional customary fish pond practices, from development for the SMA rules. So you don't need an SMA permit to do that. Yeah.
No, I'm good with it. I started at now I'm not going to remember the name of the fish pond at Waipa, because I got involved in the restoration of that. We had a little bit of money to restore that fish pond, and the first thing I bumped up against was the grading and grubbing mm-hmm. ordinance for the county. And so I went to the county and said, we should be exempt from that. This is a traditional customary practice. We're not going to impact anybody else but us. And we have sovereignty. We have sovereign rights. We're above all of your ordinances and stuff, because we have a more righteous purpose. We have
how we get away from that, right, is not a racial thing. Everyone who opposes the Native Hawaiian issue and the Native Hawaiian people and self-determination and entitlements always say it's racial. It's not racial. It's political. You go to Kamehameha schools, all Hawaiian kids. There are non-Hawaiian sprinkled in there, so we don't get sued anymore. Mm-hmm. But they look like everything. I had a class.
Oh, they're the gamut.
Yeah, I had a classmate named Buzz Burger, and he looked like a Buzz Burger. Like, you could see the veins, right? To, like, the most, I mean, straight up Manahuni. Like,
you know when you're looking at one.
Yeah, I mean, like, Na'aula line, Marquesan.
Oh, yeah.
Carved stone.
Here I am.
In one night, guys. Yeah.
Carved
and then I'm like the latte in the middle someplace.
Yeah.
But, and so why canoes? So Konane is keep moving. Canoes. The reason why I like canoe is because canoes are inarguably the most seaworthy vessel ever designed. Right, catamarans are based on them. What humanity was able to do with wood and plant fiber, go to the most remote spot on Earth. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But everyone who paddles knows. A canoe can go forward. If you know how to do it right, you can surf, you can do anything. But they can't go backwards. They are garbage backwards. If you back paddle, you gotta look back. It's like opposite, the Amazon on the wrong side, and you can't paddle backwards. It's like a weird kind of rowy thing. And that's what I always talk about when you talk about sovereign citizenry. You can't go back. There's no one weird trick. You know, there's no clickbait.
To apply of then to now.
To go back. Like, you may be descended. Hey, great. You're descended from Liliuokalani, even though she had no kids and it's highly unlikely. Awesome. But that doesn't give you anything. You know, go on 23andMe. You're probably related to, like, very, historically important royal people. You do not have an estate anywhere mm-hmm. in Europe. Right?
Just because you got the bloodline.
It is what it is.
The paperwork doesn't have your name on it.
No. And even if it did, it was sold. You were divested somehow. I mean, they created land court to clean this all up. So what do we do?
Oh, that's not working very well.
Yeah, well, that's a different show. So
yeah,
we got
a different show.
Couple minutes left. So okay. Positively, okay. Vote.
Don't not participate.
Yeah, vote. Like, if you look at the margins, like county council, it's like top vote getters are like 10,000, something like that, 11,000. You like Mason and Luke, Bernard, they come in high, double digit high. And the cut is like 8,000 around there. That's like 7-8. There's 10,000 Hawaiians on this island, right? If we all met and agreed, let's support these people.
Well, there's a video.
Done. We have the county council. Same thing.
What's happened to the BLNR. Look what's happened to the Board of Land and Natural Resources. Every single member now is Hawaiian.
Yeah, and
that didn't happen by vote. It happened.
It's appointed.
Yes,
and
it happened.
And it's because Hawaiians have tremendous political power right now. It's amazing. what we can do. It's just that it's so often, no, it's largely entirely directed at fighting development, irrespective of the development. It could be very necessary hydroelectric power. We need energy self-sufficiency in order to be sovereign. That's sovereignty includes energy. Hawaiians, it is documented. Kalakaua put hydro in Nu'uanu Stream. That's why Iolani Palace had electricity before the White House. We love that factoid.
Let's say that again, because Interior Secretary, I'm never going to say her name right, was recently here, and she was taken to Iolani Palace, and she was told the facts of the interior plumbing and the bathtub and the lights. She was absolutely shocked. This is a very well-educated woman. But the part that doesn't get out there is it was hydro.
Hydro. There's, and like, this, and talking about water today, it's so hard. You're dealing with reservoirs.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Ag. You know, I mean, Kauai is, we can go rerun 100% clean energy at certain periods of the day. I think we're at 90, 95.
Yeah, there are days.
Yeah. We could go total 100, but there are certain people that are so, you know, I'm sure there is concern, and there is, got to do it right, and native species and stuff, but let's be real. I grew up in Wailua. Tahitian prawn and tucanary tilapias whack that place.
You absolutely.
Know, there's no, you got to go really high, right? Up
yeah.
the mountain.
And
high.
Then you're only getting one variety of.
So. And I'm not saying that's good or bad, but hydro is not, by definition, bad. Hawaiians diverted all the water they could. Everything was diverted. All the lo'i visuals we love, water diversions, right? So if we just took some of that political power and focused it on DHHL, housing Hawaiian people, as a non-50, I don't get, but I 100% support 50s getting. You know, they have hundreds of thousands of acres. There should be no homeless people in Hawaii. It's ridiculous. But it's not like it ever broke. It never really worked. But the fact that Kuhio, political, Kauai boy, born and raised Southside, who, by the way, surfed in California, in like Santa Cruz,
mm-hmm.
in the 1880s. Duke didn't go until 1914. So, Kauai boys, typical. We do it first and better, but Oahu get the credit, right? So all you surfers on Kauai, bro.
Take your cred.
All aloha to Duke, but Prince Kuhio got you. So without any vote in Congress as a territorial rep, he passed the Hawaiian Homes Commission Act. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, getting all that anti-whatever you want to do and go positive housing, you could house Hawaiians. And not to mention always lower blood quantum, 132nd, that's what Kuhio wanted. 3%, we all get housed. I would rather pay my mortgage to an organization that would support someone who couldn't do it than a bank.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So vote, run for political office, but learn. Politics, it's weird. It's the only profession where we go, you know what? I want the person with no experience. You know?
Yeah.
Like
person with a loud mouth that doesn't know what they're talking about.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I get that if you got a health problem, and you need surgery, you don't go to, you know, a MMA fighter to do that, right? You don't go to a guy who was famous in the 80s for being rich to operate on you. And isn't your political status and who governs you and all this stuff, it's important too, right? So people who are and it's boring. Again, vegetables, policy wonks, right? Learn, do the research. You know, and not like do the research, go on conspiracy websites, but like actually read the legitimate stuff, read the whole thing, right? Try to find the answer. Talk to people with an open mind. Support the right people. Politics, right?
And it's not easy. So
no.
If something is easy, it's probably not going to get you there.
Yeah. And if it's
hard.
It'll
be a fun ride, but it ain't going to get you where you want to go. And the other thing is, for me, the entire conversation of sovereignty, and this is partially just me, but it's also part of the organizations to which I belong, is place-based stuff. So if I focus on Manini, or if I focus on Hanalei, then it doesn't sound as political. It's not as political. It doesn't It doesn't mire me down mm-hmm. in the mud of all of that other stuff. I'm not talking about you and me and him and her and they and them. I'm talking about here. I'm talking about this place right here. Some people ask me how to do the kind of work that I do as I start in your backyard, mm-hmm. wherever you are, even if you're in an apartment. There's something around there, the garbage collection, whatever it is, there's something right there to start with. Start with what you know. And the dream is fun to talk about. It's Hollywood. It's fun to learn about. It's fun to talk about, but it's not going to get you where you need to get. And mm-hmm. it is vegetables, folks. It is broccoli. There's no other way to describe a lot of what I do. That's what it is. And I make it fun. and I'm not afraid of controversy, but it's not. Sovereignty is, to me, is just a fact. I am sovereign because I am sovereign, because I say I'm sovereign and I behave sovereign. And I work on things of place. And that's what you're doing at Hulaia.
Yeah.
And it's the place-based stuff that matters. And then that will be the example in the story.
Well, and that's where, like, the canoe. Mm-hmm. We all have our seat. Mm-hmm. Steersman steer, stroker stroke, two calls, five help, you know. Mm-hmm. And
I just want to be the one that shouts.
Yeah. And you are that person. And so but together, right? That's community. That's the nation.
That's right.
Right.
That's
and
right.
And so
wind us up.
Yeah,
so
wind us up.
Sovereignty.
Okay, one more thing.
Okay.
So a big thing that we all need to focus on, all right, is recognition. This concept of recognition. Because when the Department of Interior comes up and say, hey, we want to talk about these federal process to get Hawaiians federal recognition, the brakes go on. Mm-hmm. They'll go to, the last one I went to was a Kapaa Middle, and everyone showed up, and it was just haranguing these federal bureaucrats about mm-hmm. the injustice of history. Yeah, it's very unjust, very immoral. But those are the whereas clauses to our next constitution, right? That doesn't hold
those
any
are
legal
the because.
Weight.
Those are the whereas. Yeah. Whereas is, read when you see a whereas, read it as because.
It's context.
Because this happened, we're now doing this. Because yeah. that happened, we're now doing this.
And so, and at the federal level, and this always surprises people, but Native Hawaiians are not recognized as indigenous people. The state does. Hawaiians, no. There's no formal recognition. There are, within various federal rules and laws, Native Hawaiians are identified as a political class. But Office of Hawaiian Affairs versus, was it U.S. v. OHA or OHA v. U.S.? When they sued, I think it was Ken Conklin, them sued OHA for Hawaiian-only elections, because in the 90s.
Oh, I remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and that's when the apology law came up, and everyone was like, okay, you know, it's on. The court wouldn't recognize Hawaiians because the Congress didn't. We need federal recognition because that makes us a political class and takes us out of, it's like, you know, the Matrix, right? To an extent.
And it is not the United States government saying you are a person. You have rights. That's not what it is.
No, it's a nation.
It's a nation and it's political.
It's a political status. So, and what we need to do as Hawaiians is take those steps and understand these are not the final steps. These are konanimus. They're intermediate steps. And so, like, as I really think, because my tutu told me, that the statehood move, the reason why a lot of Hawaiians supported statehood was because they wanted to be able to elect their governor. Because if they didn't, you could literally kill a Hawaiian and the guy wouldn't go to jail. That's what happened. Again, Massey, we talked about this.
Because it was a non-entity.
No, yeah, well, it's because the governor was appointed by the president and the governor has pardon power.
Ask the Chamorro people. They live with it today.
Yeah.
The president appoints their governor. When I was a kid, the governor showed up on a ship with a white horse and two armadillo. I kid you not. Because the president was a Texan. And we got a Texan governor. And he rode down the streets in Aganya and Tamuning on his white horse. He no longer had the armadillo because they were captured and eaten at the docks. I'm not even sure how the Chamorro figured out how to skin them because they're not easy to eat, man.
Well, it's Polynesian, man. They'll figure it out.
Yeah, they did figure it out. They ate them. But to this day, folks, they do not vote.
Yeah.
They do not vote for president. They can vote locally, but they pay federal taxes.
This
is what happens.
Great argument. So everyone's like, it's not that we don't want federal recognition. It's that I want you to recognize me, my organization, my group, whatever. It's a matter of degree and who. So let's just get it. Intermediate step. We'll live to fight another day. Right? And so, and there are, Obama created a rule, a federal rule, whereby if Hawaiians come together and create this nation, we can approach the federal government and say, hey, submit an application to the Secretary of Interior and say, recognize us.
And we've made some effort at doing that.
We Na'i Aupuni?
Yeah.
We tried.
Yeah.
And then Hawaiians sued.
And said,
Akina
that.
Versus the United States. They said, oh, this is race-based. Hawaiians did that. Right. So there's so much. I mean, just like America. It's the fact that every time, like when a caucus bill would go for recognition, the people who didn't want it would say, well, when you guys come together, then we'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas United States isn't together,
mm-hmm.
right? So you're holding us to a higher standard. Mm-hmm. It's hypocritical.
And something that's never going
to
happen.
No. So there needs to be, and this is where it gets, because when you get political and you get passion, you have the potential for violence, and politics equals violence equals terrorism. Don't do that. Let's not get violent. Liliuokalani, as much as we lament the overthrow, she was brilliant in not fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was live to fight another day. She knew it. And
well, they were all going to get killed, and then what'd she
have? And looking at precedent, in the Paulette affair in 1843, after Hawaii was purportedly taken by England, Kawakili wrote a letter to Queen Victoria and said, hey, cousin, you know, this is really wrong. Fix this. Rear Admiral Thomas came back and said, yeah, this is wrong. We turned it. Liliuokalani made the same move, right? Mm-hmm. She appealed to the United States just like her predecessor appealed to Great Britain, but United States wasn't that guy. And that's the difference.
Didn't happen.
And she, you know, and so yeah. Let's really short, close this out. Let's get together. Let's vote. Let's understand the history, but lower the passion. Find positive activities that we can do. Work together.
Keep your perspective. Keep your history. Know your history. Keep your history. Keep your perspective. And play the cards you have for right now. Play the Konani game. Play the long game.
We're doing this for the Keiki, man. It's not for us.
That's right. That's right. It's never going to happen today.
Yeah.
It's an interesting discussion, and plenty in there for another time as well. And we are certainly appreciative. I want to take just a moment and say how much we appreciate Laura Christine and coming in at the crack of freaking dawn to meet with us. We meet at this hour. We do this program at this hour because Mauna Kea and I are working folk and we have stuff to do. And so this is a doable time for us.
I want to thank both of you. I learned so much from this show and I think it's super important. And if you also agree as a listener, please donate to KKCR. Keep us on the air and help us keep providing this kind of programming. You can donate at kkcr.org. Today is the beginning of our summer fun drive. It's starting at noon.
And the studio looks like beach gone.
Yeah, it's
nuts.
a summer fun drive.
She had
we're having
it to
fun.
Me. I said, why do I look like I'm a flotilla? I'm sitting in the middle of a flotilla here.
Amazing new shirt this year. It's,
oh, it's a
multicolor.
Shirt.
And a lot of gifts for you. So keep it locked in to KKCR. And thank you, Mauna Kea and Maka'ala, so much for being here.
Sure. Anytime. Well, not anytime. And I will be making my annual donation to KKCR.org for the privilege. You know, this isn't, it's a right of free speech, but this is a privilege, folks, that we even have a community radio station. There are not that many of them around the world.
Yeah, there's only 260 in the United States of legitimate community stations, you know, which is different than a public station like HPR, which I love also. But
it's
community where it's just volunteers in here. You guys are giving your time for free to share your mana'o with the community. Thank you.
Wow. Yeah, well, thank you, and thank you for the opportunity. And it's community radio, which means if community needs to support it and participate. Community is a verb, It has action.
Like sovereignty.
Like sovereignty. Verb.
Nice ending.
Okay, yeah, yeah. We'll tie that one in a little bit, bow. Okay. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next month, because we'll be here. Aloha.
As far as Hawaiian music, all music, it's not especially understanding what it is, but feeling the music. And, you know, in Hawaiian music, there's a lot of feeling that cannot be explained to this place.
We the voices behind the face of the Hawaiian nation, the Hawaiian race, cries for justice, the day has come for all our people to stand as one. E ala e, e ala e. We the voices behind the face, the Hawaiian nation, Hawaiian race, cries for justice, the day has come for all our people to stand as one. E ala e. We the warriors born to live on what the land that she can give. Defend our birthright to be free. Give our children liberty. Power of the people is the people. The people ke aloha o ka haina. O ka haina. She can give, defend our birthright to be free, give our children liberty. E ala e a e a e a, 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 e ala e a e a e a. Ulili holo holo kaha kaie, a cable and a liege. You know what?